You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online every single where on God's magnificent planet. And magnificent it is.
It totally
we woke up this morning. We're yes. breathing. We're alive.
That's right.
Time to give
a little piece of paradise that we have here.
Yes.
1510wwbc.com. You can go to that website and hit the listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, there we also archive the shows, which is under the on demand button. You can go to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, or you can just check out every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're there. And then, of course, we have all of our information shared, as well as the podcast from all of this shared on all of our social media under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and SitaMediaInc.com. And then we have our website, SitaMediaInc.com as well.
That's right. And for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends for the first time today, just wanted to give you guys a little update on our show. We have been here on WWBC for close to 15 years. We're going into our 16th year, correct?
Yeah.
16.
Yeah.
And so we sit here on Mondays from 1 to 2. Our show is divided up into two segments. The first segment is from 1:03 to about 1:27, and the second segment is from 1:35 until about 1:58 or so. We have quality guests on our show from every walk of life, and we give everyone a platform here on our show to talk about whatever they want to talk about. Some people want to talk about mental health. Some folks want to talk about financial literacy. Some folks want to talk about running for office. We have others, like I booked somebody yesterday to talk about clean water in the state of Florida. We speak to folks who want to talk about the environment, women's rights, elder care, kid care, the children. Some folks want to write a book. They need advice how to write a book. And we have a lot of coaches. I think our show, Ellen, for the most part, we give out very valuable information in a very unscripted, very interesting manner.
Yes. And everybody is connectable. So after the show, you can reach out on their websites and find out more about what they do. And hopefully we become like sort of the community radio networking
we have
piece where we can connect people that are writing books and making movies. And
yeah, that's right. We've had movie producers and actors and singers, and it's great. And I actually had somebody reach out to me last week for a phone number for a mortgage company. And I gave it to them, and they're going to use one of our good friends, Atlantic Mortgage, Dan Overstreet, who's a good friend of mine. So I gave them his number. But today's show is no different. We've got this show today, our friend Cindy Young sponsored today's segment, which is awesome. Yeah. We met Cindy through Sheriff Ivy a long time ago.
Yes.
Yeah. And
see
I
how
told
the
her that
happen?
Aging Matters was coming on, and she had nothing but great things to say. And so this is wonderful, and the children's movement. So today's show, the Aging Matters of Brevard, we've got the CEO and president, and I have to say the name correctly because it's a long name, just like mine, Mr. Tom Kammerdanner, correct?
Perfect.
He is the president and CEO of Aging Matters here in Brevard, and these are the folks associated with Meals on Wheels. That seems to be the one thing that everybody knows Aging Matters for. So welcome to our show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Right. And you'll be on the second segment. And the first segment is the children's movement. They've been on before. And we love talking about the children in the state of Florida. Mr. Rick Vancielli is here, and he's filling in for my friend Madeline, who could not be with us. And so we'll chat a little bit with Rick and find out some things that's new about the children's movement. We'll find out why they are nonprofit, how they're funded, and all this good stuff. So, Rick, thank you very much for taking time to call in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, so, well, thank you for stepping in, because I understand Madeline had something to do. So talk to our listeners a little bit about yourself, and what is your role at the Children's Movement?
Very cool. Thank you. Like I said, Rick Bonfier. I am the Director of Business Engagement for the Children's Movement, and I lead an initiative. It's called Bosses for Babies. And yes, as you said, we are a not-for-profit, nonpartisan, statewide initiative. We're based in Miami, but we function, and I literally travel across the state talking about the movement and also leading the charge on Bosses for Babies.
Yeah, and you know what? It's amazing that you guys do travel. I remember you came to Brevard a few times as well. Someone from your group came here and spoke with all of us about Medicaid expansion and child care and daycare and all these things. And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people, especially some people when they're running for office, they do talk about the children, right? And we all say, well, what's next? Are we going to expand Medicaid? Are we going to give child care credit for moms and dads who are struggling and working out there? And it's great that you all are advocates for the education and health care for Florida's children. So talk to us a little bit about how did you get involved with the movement, because you were doing something before.
Yeah, well, the funny part is, and I joke about it now, that for 30 years I have been in advertising, marketing in some capacity. I was with the Miami Herald for many, many years, over 20. I was with NBC6 locally. I was with several other digital companies, and I was strictly on the marketing, advertising, sales side, never thought of non-for-profits, never really was ever thought of getting into it. And so this position or this opportunity presented itself a couple years back to basically take the Bosses initiative across the state. What brought me to the movement, and the gentleman who was the publisher at the Miami Herald at the time, which is a gentleman who, because of we have so many different children's or child-based initiatives across state, Dave Lawrence, who was the publisher at the Herald, he started the children's movement about 15 years ago. And I reached out to him when I saw this opportunity. And it's funny because I feel like I wasted 30 years doing stuff that really wasn't that important to the world by selling somebody an ad or trying to talk about media and so on. Now I'm somewhere where we're making a difference across the state. We're leading the charge. We're not only talking, as you said, we travel around the state and we talk about children's issues and childcare and all that. What I do is I actually go out and try to work with businesses to educate them on the importance of the role they play and the importance of what they can do to make Florida a much better place in the future. And it all comes together, and it's interesting because a lot of times when I talk to businesses and present the numbers and, you know, strictly just talk about numbers and bottom lines and so on, they kind of give you that sideways look like, I didn't know that. And a lot of times people love to criticize businesses and say, hey, they don't care. They don't care about it. I don't think it's that. I think it's they just don't know. And if you don't know the importance of it, you're not going to really pay attention to it. So what I do is I actually lead and try to meet with businesses, Rotary clubs, chambers, whatever the case is, on educating them on what the importance of all this and how it all comes together. And it's a role, or every person in the state, whether it's a business, a parent, a talk show host like yourself, we all play a role in the importance, or we all play a role in bringing a child into adulthood.
Yeah. Well, you know, it always comes down to education, right? It always comes down to education and giving someone an opportunity. And in this case, it's about the businesses. Well, I think you hit the nail on the head because, you know, a friend of mine just said to me the other day, sometimes, you know, you have hospitals that have daycares that are close to the hospital. So a mom could drop a child off, go to work, pick the child up. You could even go on your lunch break and have that precious 30 minutes with the child. And then you have other businesses that are flourishing and doing well. And you have to re-educate the older people in that business that, hey, you've had your run. You've had your children. They've been to elementary school. They've been to middle school. They've been to high school. They're now in college. So how about if you work Christmas Day or Thanksgiving and let a young family have that day to experience it with your children? And I think this is what businesses should do. Encourage those of us who've been there, done that, to help the younger families here in the state of Florida.
I agree. And honestly, it comes down to the numbers. And I joke that I put everything in an Excel, especially because I like looking at numbers. Well, if you were to educate the business or talk to the business in Brevard County and tell them that only 61% of the children going into kindergarten are kindergarten ready, or that by the time they're in third grade, only 59% are reading at grade level, and then you explain to them that, hey, numbers will show you that 75% of those kids are never going to catch up. So I'm basically telling you that by 9 years old, we already know the success rate on the kids for the future. And when you tell a business that, they don't realize, a business owner or as a person within the organization, they don't realize that. And they kind of are surprised by it. And they're shocked that as a 9-year-old that, you know, you're already behind the eight ball. Yeah, you are. Because you're learning to read by third grade and you're reading to learn post third grade. And those are the facts. And that's why it's important to help families. And that's why it's important to support them as much as possible. We're trying to educate them that by a business supporting a family today, you're really supporting two workforces, the workforce of today and the workforce of the future, because that third grader in, 15 years or so will be working for you. And if he didn't do well in school and didn't succeed, who are you hiring? So a lot of what we do is we try to educate the businesses on those kind of things. And then we tie it back to the business important that, you know, over 55% of absences at workplaces are because of a child care issue, a last second child care issue.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, we always, we joke around sometimes. I'm a long-term care nurse, and you know, we talk about life and death issues and people going on hospice and all these things. But I tend to tell my friends all the time that life is a business. Staying alive is a business. From the minute you wake up, when you're born from that womb, the diapers they put on you, the formula you drink, the daycare you attend, you know, the insurances your parents buy, the home you live in. And if children don't have that foundation, like you say, for even if a parent is ill, you have to have somewhere to put the child. If you don't have that support system, if you don't have that structure, that foundation, everything is doom and gloom at that point. You have to have people like yourself with the Children's Movement of Florida, and you have to have other people in the community educated that this child is going to grow up and need an education, need a job, and they have to be a functioning member of society. There's a role for this child with just culture in it, right?
I agree. And another thing that when I talk to businesses and I explain to them that as a state, we've done a phenomenal job on getting kids into college between Bright Futures and the prepay and all these wonderful things. It's great. The average person to realize that it costs a parent of a 3-year or 4-year-old twice the money it costs to go to college in the state of Florida. It's crazy. I mean, in Miami-Dade County, you can basically, if you graduate from Miami-Dade High School and you have, and with a 2.0 or above, you can get your AA for free, which is wonderful. And please, we're not criticizing that part of the education. We're saying, what are we doing to support that young family, that, you know, the family with a 3- and 4-year-old, which in most cases are just starting out, so they're probably a little lower on the income level, and you're asking them to pay, you know, between housing costs and childcare costs, you're talking maybe 60% of their salary is taken up in these two areas. So how are we supporting them? What are we doing to support them? And on top of that, for the first time, remember, the Florida Chamber is actually reporting that, you know, for the last few years, we've had this wonderful migration of wealth coming into the state. Well, for the first time, they're actually reporting that 25 to 36-year-olds are moving out. And the reason they're moving out is the cost of living and the cost of childcare in the state. So it's
Well, you know, it all ties in, right? Because
exactly,
if you go to any daycare, oftentimes a lot of the staff in that daycare are legal immigrants or people of color. or, you know, it 9 times out of 10, you go in there and you're like, okay, I have friends who were physicians and nurse practitioners in Iran and India, and they are working in daycares. And they work, you know, for $12 to $15 an hour taking care of our nation's children. So I think sometimes, you know, you have to look at the big picture. We, a lot of us raise our kids to go to college, get this big job, move on, they move out of state. But the immigrants come in and they're working primarily in nursing homes, in hospitals, in daycares. And I think a lot of us have to look at the big picture. The most precious gifts we have are the children, right? And they have a role to play. And the children have a voice, but their voices are heard through us, through people like you. So talk to us a little bit with this last Florida legislative session. Any news on the expansion of Medicaid for our children here in Florida? Do you know anything about that?
Well, to be honest with you, and I'm looking at a couple of things, we had some legislation. We looked at a few. We were, I guess, advocating or working with the legislature on a few bills. For example, the school readiness program bill, which increased the minimum income, and there was a couple others that we were very supportive of, school readiness and so on, that did pass. The expanding of the Medicare, no, I'm not aware of that at this point. I don't think it's I know they went back into session to finalize the budget last week, so there's still some things pending and so on, or back into session, I should say.
And that's the kid care expansion, right?
Yeah,
the kid care.
Yes.
Yeah, so you know what, Rick, for listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Rick Banciella with the Children's Movement here in Florida. So I agree with you that we must have family-friendly policies, paid leave, child care support, other accommodations to improve retaining employees and reducing people being absent from work. But when you try to talk to people about this, some people just don't listen. What is that missing link that businesses are so consumed in the bottom line that they forget that, yeah, you may have that employee that when Thursday night rolls around, they don't have that money to put in the car for Friday morning for gas. Or that person is coming to work late because they just couldn't afford that co-payment for the medication for their kid. And the kid is coughing all night and keeping this person up. I mean, we have to get back to a point in our life, in society, when we care and we have empathy and we show compassion for each other, because it does translate into people working for others and making them rich in their businesses.
I agree, and that's a wonderful transition, because one of the key components of the Bosses Initiative, or Bosses for Babies Initiative, is we're trying to educate businesses that they should consider family-friendly policies as a recruitment and retention tool. To your point, the state of Florida, businesses in Florida will spend over $1.7 billion annually just recruiting and trying to retain employees. And then as a state, we're losing almost $5.4 billion annually when you factor in the recruitment and retention, wages, and lost taxes. We're trying to educate. It can be something as simple as a lactation room in your office. Something as simple as, hey, we have a restaurant in Central Florida that they converted a small room in the back into, you know, they put a sofa and they put a computer connection into, and it's a place where kids can wait in between shifts for their parents. It's little things. It's listening to your employees. It's not about all these expenses and now I have to spend this, spend that. When you drill down, and a supported employee is a more loyal and more productive employee. And when you really look at it, you will see that your bottom line improves when you provide these services to your employees, your team, and so on. And again, we're trying to educate the businesses that it should be seen as a recruitment and retention tool, because in the long run, it's going to be more.
Well, it's a win. It's a win-win, right? And we should all. Yep. I think exactly. we should celebrate those employers that are actually doing this and putting that computer in the back room, and buying the toilet paper and putting it in the toilet in the back for the kids. So if they go, because you know, many times you go to these places, oh my goodness, they don't have any toilet paper in this place. You know, because they're not catering.
I get it.
You know,
I get it.
Because I've seen places like that.
Yeah, we call it a win-win-win because it's a win for the business, it's a win for the family, and long term, it's a win for the state. That's why we feel so important. I mean, and to your point about listing the businesses, if your listeners want to go to our website, which is thechildrenswomenofflorida.org, and you find the Bosses for Babies, and if you can actually see the 105 businesses that we've signed up so far. And it's not like we're asking them for money. All we want to do is salute and celebrate what they're doing to support their teams. Like I said, it's as simple as a lactation room or a room in the back where the employees can come. Or, you know, we've all talked about, you know, post-COVID, the whole idea about, you know, working from home and flexible scheduling. I know there's a shift away from that, but it's giving the employees the ability, if they need to leave for 20 minutes to pick up a child, they can do it without having to lie to their boss. There's a comfort level.
That's where we come in handy. That's where the older nurses like come in handy to help the younger ones, because we have nurses that would say, I've got to go get my kid. And we would say, I'll hold the floor for you. And we do it. And some of us go the extra mile that when the children do come and they're waiting with their parents, we'll buy them some McDonald's or something. You know, we'll say, yes, I'll sell you 10 bucks. We'll say, I'll sell you 10 bucks. Buy the kid a meal on the way here. But again, I think all of that comes from us, all of us being raised as good human beings to be empathetic and show compassion for our fellow men. It's not enough to say, be thy brother's keeper in words. You have to show it in your actions as well. And we are all taught that us older folks are supposed to take care of the younger ones and teach them so that their children, the next generation, will enjoy the fruits of our labor that we're leaving a good footprint for them behind. But a lot of people don't think like that. And I wish that we can, because we're living in a time in our nation when we're seeing so much fear and division and hate that it's so good to have a nonprofit such as the Children's Movement that goes all out to have that unique voice for children.
Thank you. And I agree with you. I mean, this is just, it's a way to not only show empathy and compassion for your coworker, your fellow man, and so on, but I look at it as once being a business owner, I can talk to you about either way. I can talk to you about from a business point of view and all the money you're losing and all the money you could be gaining if you do these kind of things, or I can talk to you about the importance for the child. But it all comes together at the end. And to your point, the more we help each other, the better we're all going to be. I mean, That's the gist of everything I feel.
Rick, I want to switch gears just a quick minute. This is Ellen. I'm CETA's co-host here on the show. And I was just wondering what the Children's Movement of Florida is doing to help out homeschool families. Because it seems like I have quite a few business owners, families, that actually they homeschool their kids.
That's an interesting question. Because what we're all about is, you know, if anything, if they were to take anything away from our conversation, I hope they take away that when you think of education, it's not K through 12. We believe that education starts at birth and in some cases prior to that. So we're all about trying to educate and teach a child from the very beginning, from the day they're born and so on. It's the way you interact with the child, as much information as you give them. Homeschooling, yes, I'm sure it works very well in some situations, but we believe that interaction with professional educators, interactions with professionals will make a big difference, especially early on. There's certain conditions you can see, determine, learn of just by interacting with a child a lot earlier than once they get to kindergarten or first grade or whatever the case may be. When it comes to homeschool, yes, there's a lot of, you know, I'm sure there's wonderful programs and there's parents, a lot of them, you know, will probably do a wonderful job, but we're more into, we want educational professionals to be able to interact with a child and speak to the child and work with a child. Now, from a parent point of view, like I said, from day one, I mean, and we joked at 1,000 words a year. And when you talk to a child and he wants a banana, it's not just giving him the banana and opening it up. It's talking to him. And look, it's yellow. It's mushy. Most people don't realize about the time you're 3 years old, 80 to 85% of your brain's wired.
Well, if you're like me, you'll tell him that the banana is good for depression and it's good for constipation and it's great, that's the other end of life. It's great for diet. I'm like, my grandson, God forbid he asks me a question, he gets a lecture. And then he says, Nanny, all I wanted was the banana, you know?
No, but that makes a difference. It makes a huge difference in terms of stimulating the brain and the way that the next time the child looks at a banana, he's not going to just look at it and say, oh, food. Wow, it's yellow. It's
soft. You know, the other day I had a day and I was visiting and he's only four. And I said, I was talking to him about, you know, eating fresh fruits and vegetables and getting an exercise outside. And I said, you know, I had a patient with a colostomy and blah, blah, blah. And so I started telling him, you know, why you get a colostomy. And then I going through all the, and he says, Nanny, he said, I'm sorry, I'm going to eat all the fruit I could find. but he learned something and then he's sharing it with his little friends. But I mean, you do have to talk, but I wanted to get back to the implications, for economy with a good workforce is tremendous. And I do believe that the children are the future. But how, I mean, that's not just a song in my head. It's the truth. But how do we make communities more inclusive and equitable for all the children, not just certain children?
And that's the core of what we do. Our team, we have those who work directly with, you know, with different sectors within the state, the Early Learning Coalition and those types of groups. So we're hitting them from that side. I am hitting them on the business side and trying to reach them that way and educating them on the importance of this. It's a work in progress, and it's one of those, it's going to continue to be a work in progress, especially as the dynamics and the demos in the state change. And we've been having, you know, since COVID, we've had all these people coming in and so on, and the people coming in have all this money and all this wealth. But at the same time, the young folks, like I said earlier, are leaving. So we need to find a happy medium there. And it's going to be a work for all of us.
Well, it starts with kindness, right? It starts with kindness. Be kind to the young people when they graduate college. Don't push them out of the workforce. Look at the salaries. Look at the benefits. Give them a good job with benefits and understand that they have to live too. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're flipping burgers at Burger King. You still have to pay rent. You still need health insurance. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're a big shot physician or a nurse or whatever, own a business. You still have to drive a car. You have to have insurance. You have to have rent paid. You've got to pay for your kids, you know. So it makes a difference. But I want to ask you really quick, that study did it in Brevard County, Florida, where 61% of the children entering kindergarten are ready.
Right.
Now, we all know that the foundation for everything starts at home with grandparents, right. Elders, you know, two parents. Some people don't have two parents. How do you come up with that figure? Because we are noticing that as well, that a lot of kids are graduating and they can't read and understand. They can't comprehend. So what can we do out here in the lay people's world to help so that our children are not on social media, but they're actually reading and enjoying using our libraries and getting ready, whether it's kindergarten or graduating for college?
Well, to your point, the 61%, it's, believe it or not, it's pretty good compared to many other counties across the state. I work with a lot of counties in the interior part that are in the 30s and 40s, and that's just really scary. You also have an advantage where you have about 71% of your kids in Brevard are actually have completed VPK, which is very good. What the most important thing, I think, is educating at once you're a nurse, the moment the parents have the child, that's from day one, start talking to the child, educate them, speak to them, stimulate that. Their little brains are these incredible sponges that everything we can throw in there is a wonderful thing. Education, speaking to them, whatever the case is. And those are the foundations we're trying to create and lay going forward. And to your point is we got to start early and we got to talk to the children and we got to expose them and part of that is exposing the parents, and part of that is educating the parents on the importance of this. It's not just, hey, here's a tablet, go play with it. No, it's let's read, let's talk, let's interact. You know, I joked at 1,000 words a year, but hey, the more words we teach a kid, the better it's going to be in the future.
Right, and if you're an Indian parent, before you give them the laptop or the iPad, you go into the history of who made it, which country made it, who invested shares in it. Then you tell them what a share is, and you tell them what the stock market is. By the time you get done with, you talk about Sundar or whatever, the guy named who owns Google and all this, the, who runs Google, the kids are like, I don't want it anymore. Because, you know, because, but you're right. We were taught when from early days to talk to each other, teach each other, you know, because this is how children learn. And I just want to share with you, when you talk about businesses being friendly, when my husband had his medical practice, we had a medical assistant who was consistently late. And I was helping to run the practice at that time, in addition to being a nurse, right? And so I remember asking her, why are you always late? And it was because she didn't have a car. So she was always late waiting on rides from other people. And so what we did is I told my husband, let's just buy her a car and let her work it out every month, give me a payment. And I took her to one of the dealerships and I bought a car for $3,300. And God bless that girl. She paid it off in 2 years. And we did it for another employee after that, because you know what? We retained them. They gave us 150% because we cared about them. And we just didn't help them because we were selfish for ourselves. We helped them because they needed, they had children too. And I think if businesses, instead of, you know, their wives going out and spending $10,000 on a ski vacation, or, you know, $100,000 on a car, or $50,000 on a facelift and all this, if you look at the people that make you rich, they're, you're getting rich on the backs of those people. Give a little because you get back a lot.
I couldn't said it better. I mean, I know we're almost out of time, but that's the perfect transition to your example of helping your husband's employees by providing the car. They became, you know, they were more, they continued to work for you. They were loyal and they realized that, hey, this is a wonderful place to work. Let me do the best I can. So that's the perfect example for what we're trying to educate and coach businesses on, the importance of this.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't take it all with you when you leave the planet. You don't take it. I've yet to see a coffin or a cremation place filled with riches, you know. And I go, you know, lately we've had a lot of our friends who, you know, pass away, and all you see there is flowers, you know, and people saying goodbye, and then, you know, whatever happens in the afterlife. But I just feel like this segment, since we're talking about children, it's up to all of us to leave a good footprint on Mother Earth. And how, what a better way than taking care of our nation's children.
That's right.
So children's, give us a website. Movement. Yeah, give us the website so that our listeners can go and donate time, energy, money, ideas to the children's movement, and join you all if you're looking for volunteers or anything.
Beautiful. It's childrensmovementflorida.org. And that's the overall site. You can learn about all the really cool things, whether it's Reading Pals, whether it's the Future Project, or also Bosses for Babies. And again, it's just, you know, if anything, we want more advocates and more evangelists of what we're talking about, to educate the businesses. And to your point, and you said it so well, is to help each other out and try to make sure that everybody realizes the children are not only the future of the family, but the future of the state. So
you need to make a logo on that thing that says Bosses for Babies, and make T-shirts and cups and everything else.
It's a great.
I'm going to send you one of our pins that I give all our bosses once they sign up. And if they go there, they can see the 105 bosses that we have around the state. And our goal is to get to 200 by the end of the year. So anybody who's interested in learning more, please feel free to contact me. This is what I do. I actually travel around the state most of the time, just talking about this.
Well, the Children's Movement Florida.org website is very easily navigatable. So you'll also find the 2025 priorities there, downloadable for you. We're going to take a quick minute to listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud 9, that's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9. Mattress and Furniture. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accountant.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right, 1510 WWBC. You can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, we archive the shows there as well. Under the on-demand button, you just click on the Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, or any Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then, of course, we share it on all our social media as well.
And what a robust first segment we had with the children's movement. That was awesome. Yes. Kudos to them for going around and taking care of our nation's children, you know. Our second segment is with Mr. Tom Kammerdanner, and he is the president and CEO of Aging Matters. And he's been with Aging Matters for 12.5 years. He started as a program director and then quickly moved up to the CEO. And I want to say this so his wife will be happy with him. He's been married 35 years.
35 years.
Yeah. Wonderful. That is just such a testament of love and commitment. And like we just said, compassion and empathy and compromising.
And she's very patient.
Yes. So talk to us a little bit, Mr. Tom, about how did you get involved with the children's movement? I mean, not the children, the Aging Matters. My mind is still on the kids.
Right.
Aging Matters. That's why I thought today would be a good fit with the children and the elderly.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yes. So Aging Matters of Brevard.
I was with Health First for 19 years. Helped ran the Nutritional Services Department. And things were just changing. And there was someone that my sister knew, that was on the board of Aging Matters, and they told me about the opportunity to become a program director. So it was a step up to where I wanted to go, and it was definitely in the same nonprofit world and the same type of mission of helping people. So it was just a natural fit for me to come to Aging Matters.
Yeah, and for our listeners who are tuning in, Aging Matters of Brevard is a private, non-for-profit 501c corporation. And funding is made available under the Title III of the Older Americans Act. And boy, when you talk about older Americans and growing older, bolder, wiser, that's us.
That is us.
And I remember when I was a little girl, when someone says, oh, I'm 30, you spent, what? Now you say, oh, 30? You're a baby.
And my son is 30, my oldest son.
Yeah.
So, and he'll say that, you know, I'm old, but now he's saying that he's old.
I was just going to say,
yeah.
Officially, I would like to apologize to everyone that I called old.
Yeah,
I was 18.
Exactly.
Yeah, now I look like my grandson. He'll say, you're 60 years old, Nanny? Oh, my God, that's a lot. And then he goes through, you know. So we're all getting there, right? But one of the wonderful things that you all do is, and my friend, I have a lot of friends that support Aging Matters of Brevard. and they work with the seniors for Meals on Wheels. So tell us about that program and other programs that you offer at Aging Matters.
So, of course, when you talk about Aging Matters, the first thing that people think about is Meals on Wheels. And Meals
on
Wheels.
You market that very well, by the way.
Yeah. And so Meals on Wheels, we go from MIMS to MECO, serving clients that are in need, that are homebound. And we have over 650 volunteers that deliver meals Monday through Friday. These meals are designed to, again, keep them healthy and happy in their homes and provide that nutrition they need. Right now, we have a waiting list of 400.
For Meals on Wheels.
For Meals on Wheels.
And all this is done by contributions.
It's by our federal funding and contributions from private donors, United Way.
And a lot of people go to the website and they do a monthly contribution, I understand, or yearly. So give us the website so if someone wanted to look at it while we're on air, they can.
The website is agingmattersbevard.org.
Right. And you also do seniors at lunch.
We do.
That is all throughout the county.
Yes, we have 13 congregate dining sites, senior at lunch sites throughout the county. And again, that revolves around those that are able to leave their homes. And it's for socialization. They go to they'll do crafts. They'll play bingo. We have speakers. And they can come and have a good time and make friends and also get fed basically that same meal that the Meals on Wheels clients do. Now, another part of that Meals on Wheels component also is socialization and a safety check. So they're getting that driver that comes to see them every day, that may be the only person they see all day. Mm-hmm. And
or talk to all day.
Or talk to all day, yes. And we're also making sure they're okay. Now, it comes every year, I'll say at least we average about 4 to 5 lives we save every year. Because you'll have a client that's non-responsive at the door. So that volunteer calls the office, and then the office will make sure that they call the emergency contact. That doesn't work. They call in the doctor's office. That doesn't work. They call in the hospitals. That doesn't work. We're calling the sheriff or the police to do a safety wellness check. And we've had people on the floor, people unconscious, and then we save lives.
Yeah, and I've known people that receive the meals, and they really look forward to it. It's good food. They give them really good food.
We do. We do. We try and keep a variety of food, from comfort foods to food that will challenge them and, you know, maybe something that you wouldn't think that a... I'll give an example. So we would do something called chicken fajitas, right? So what would you think would be the challenge for someone that's 90 years old?
Making a fajita.
Well, to make sure the chicken is ground, the meat is, you can eat that meat, because sometimes you have to ground it up or chop it up or something.
The biggest thing is they didn't know how to use a tortilla.
Yeah. Or some of them don't have dentures.
Put it together.
Some people don't have dentures at that age, too. You have to be very creative.
Yeah, but once they learned that and got used to it, they loved it. You know,
right.
Yeah.
Now, do you cook all the food at the Meals on Wheels? Do you all cook it yourself or you cater it?
So we make the meals at our kitchen. It's the Brevard Community Kitchen that's located in Rockledge, which is just less than a mile away from your station here. And we also have our main office, which is also about 2 miles away from your radio station.
Right. And are you still associated with Sunflower House as well?
Yes, we are. Sunflower House is one of the first things I did when I became CEO. We were in the Barrett Square Mall for years, but the rent was just becoming too daunting. And so we had an opportunity in West Melbourne, if anybody's familiar with the Field of Dreams, off of Minton. Well, there's a house right behind there. It's also owned by the city of West Melbourne. They were looking for multiple services to go in there. And so they asked if we could put a congregate dining site. And I said, sure we could, but I said I could take the whole building. And so we put the Sunflower House in there. So it's our first dual site where we have dual services. And so they give it to us for $1. And so we went from $1,400 a month rent to $1.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
I know. I always wondered.
It's amazing.
I always wondered how the Sunflower House was able to stay in the mall, because the mall is expensive.
Yes. And it was a service for a long time, but then it just became more expensive for them. But we really, really appreciate the city of West Melbourne.
And one of the services that you all offer as well is transportation.
Yes, we do.
And is that volunteer run as well?
Absolutely. It's all volunteer run.
Who owns all those little vans?
It's not. No, it's their own personal vehicles.
Oh, wow.
So we have vets driving vets and seniors transserve. And so if anybody needs to go to a medical appointment or hairdressing appointment or, you know, any kind of appointment they need, volunteers will come on a schedule. We'll try to get them out there. But again, it's still the waiting list. We still need volunteers for that service.
Right. And the in-home care, that's also volunteer-based if somebody needed somebody to come into their home for a few hours a day. And I know you
all... Nope, that's employees.
Okay, that's yes. Okay, good. But they yes. go through you all. It's a
yes, reference. Yes, those are our clients. But we also have some contractors that we use as well to make sure we're fulfilling our contracts that we have.
Yeah.
So we have a balance. We have CNAs, we have home care aides, one and two levels. That provide those services inside.
How wonderful. It's a one-stop shopping.
We're trying to be, yes. Yeah. And we're trying to actually expand out on what we do. We also do home improvement
type
pieces where we put in ramps, grab bars, smoke detectors. We also have a private pay component to that too because we only get so many dollars to put in something like grab bars. We get like $150.
I feel like everybody could use a grab bar. It doesn't matter the age.
Exactly.
I'm telling you because I have friends in their 40s and 50s and they're like, oh, I was trying to put my pants on and I slipped. I said, well, didn't you have a bar to grab? No. Well, maybe you should get one. Because, you know, you're rushing in the mornings. And my friend told me she actually fell in her bathroom. She didn't hurt herself. She's only 45.
It's one of the biggest accidents that there are in a senior's home. You know, they slip on rugs, strip on rugs. It's just, oh, yeah.
As a nurse, I can't tell you enough how many people we've had admitted who fell at home. People get very comfortable with their rugs and all these things, and they get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. What is the biggest thing seniors do in the night? They go to the bathroom.
Yes.
And they slip and fall because a lot of them don't have lights.
Right.
They don't even have a night light.
Right.
Night believe it or so not, important. Some people can't even afford a night light, mm-hmm. which is sad.
It is.
Right. So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, my pal Ellen O'Neill is here, my co-host for 15 years. Danny's running our board, and we've got Mr. Tom Kamadener. He is the president and CEO of Aging Matters in Brevard. And Ellen and I are reverse aging, as you could see.
Right, exactly. We're working on it.
So let's talk about a little bit about what happens as we age, right? We need a support system. If we don't have grandchildren and friends and siblings, we need a community, just like we talked earlier with the children's movement, to care.
We certainly do.
Right?
Yes.
And so how do we get our society, our nation, to get to that point where people don't feel like, I feel sometimes we live in a throwaway society. If your car is old, get rid of it. Your wife is old, some people get rid of them. Some people get rid of stuff. And as people age, and some are not seen as valuable anymore. And it could be cultural, it could be financial, it could be spiritual, it could be emotional, but a lot of elderly people in our nation, especially those who retired, are lonely.
They absolutely are. And, you know, we'll have different groups that will come out and volunteer, like for a first time. And it just lightens up their world, and they don't realize the impact that they make, but they get more out of it than actually the client does when they volunteer. And we have a retired senior volunteer program that actually does 10 different stations throughout the county. Not just for our program, but volunteerism is really where you'll find more of an impact on what you can do for a senior. Of course, we need more contributions coming in from our community so they see the impact that they make every day as well, so they can see what they can do for a senior.
So money talks.
Money does talk.
I mean, it's the truth,
yeah,
right?
It's bottom line.
And I've seen over my 33 years as a long-term care nurse as well that fate plays an important part in life as you age. A lot of the elderly people, they would sit there with their Bible and read the same verse over and over again, right? And I've noticed where in the beginning, when a person is admitted into a nursing facility, their friends come from the church, but then it stops. It first it would be like every week, then it's every 2 weeks, then it's every month, and then it's non-existent. And again, because the friends are also elderly as well, and they need somebody to bring them to see this person. So, you know, it's like a domino effect.
It absolutely is. It's when they're trapped in that home and there's nothing they can do. They need that socialization. They need that more than ever. We recently had what we call March for Meals, and we had local politicians come out. And I'll talk about them all the time because Mike Hammer, who's councilman for the city of Palm Bay, he came out and did meals and delivered. And he had such a major impact on his life as he came and did it. We put him with a driver. That driver, as she was doing the route, she knew every client inside and out. She knew that their ailments. She knew their family. She knew what exactly was going on in their life the whole time. And she did it one day a week. That was a highlight of her week. He saw that. He brought that. And he actually was talking about the council meeting. And it's something I'll be posting as well.
So he learned something.
He learned, but yeah. But also he wants to do more.
Yeah,
you know, it's just
and it's sad more. That you have to learn that at his age. You should learn that as a child. All of us should be learning empathy, compassion from small, so that as because you know, like in the Indian households, in the United States a long time ago, people lived with each other. They took care of the grandparents at home, so you were able to see what happens with the aging process.
Yes,
right. So
that's how I grew up.
Right. So I mean, I did too. Yeah. But in today's world with two parents working and people running in and out of the home, you don't have that. So, yes, it's good that Mike was able to do that and go for a ride. But where you were living with someone elderly in your home, you would learn that from a small child.
Yes. And you say, my mother took care of every relative to the past. You know, so that's how I grew up. And then and I learned as well, a couple of years ago, we were the recipients of India Fest.
Yes. I saw that.
Which was wonderful. And, you know, talking to Nina and, you know, they would just tell me about their families and how it was. And you could just see how deep-rooted it was.
Well, the thing is, you know, growing older is and bolder and wiser, I like to say, is it's also cultural because we were taught that the elders in the family are the counselors. They are the guidance counselor. They are the mental health therapist. And 9 times out of 10, if you listen to grandma and grandpa, they've been there before. They've got life experience. They can teach you. But nowadays, people are so glued to their phones and their tablets that they don't want to spend that extra precious 10 minutes with a grandparent.
Yes.
So how are you going to learn?
There's so much to learn from our older generation. You just got to take time to listen.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's Ellen's pet peeve is the phones and the effect that social media have on our children.
Yeah, exactly.
That
we just stop. I mean, if you're not texting somebody, you know, to actually get somebody to pick up a phone, especially, you know, anybody probably in the 30, you know, like under 40 range, it's really hard to get people on the phone to actually talk. And I'm more of a visitor, you know, so I say my phone calls are like 30 seconds. I'm going to be in the neighborhood and I'd like to come over and hang out with you for a little bit. And these are my friends, but these are my older friends that, you know, that do need companionship and some, sometimes they come to our gigs, you
that's
know,
because right.
I play all the time. And, you know, our mean age of our people that come out and see us are over 60.
It's amazing when a grandchild comes with them.
Yeah,
well, I know
exactly.
Like a lot of the elderly folks in Brevard and people I know, they like gardening. And it's great if a grandchild could go with a grandparent. And not only are you learning how to garden, plant, but you're talking, you're interacting, you're learning something. And by the time you get done planting something, you probably learned about something you didn't know before, right? So with Aging Matters, the financial part of this, do they take in anyone for Meals on Wheels or do you have to have a certain criteria income-wise?
It's not income based. We're donation based.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it's actually based upon multiple criteria, and then there's a score. It's like a nutritional score. So you have a level 1 to a level 5. A 5 being the highest nutritional need of that person. Basically, they can't leave their home. Their situation is dire at a 5. So for the first time over this past year, we actually had to put 5s on a waiting list. We've never done that before, and it's just due to funding. We also had those 5s would usually get a second meal, which would be a cold meal, and it was called a PM. So they'd have a hot meal for lunch, and they'd have a colder meal they can eat later that evening. We had about 200 plus of those meals over a year ago. Now we're down to about 10, because I had to make that decision to feed more people one meal than one person, two meals.
How sad that is, right?
It's really
difficult. And are you
really
saying
difficult.
That a lot of these people just don't have someone living with them? They're all by themselves?
They're by themselves for sure. They have no other source to bring in meals. They have, you know, medical issues. You know, that's what brings them to a 5. And like I said, having them on that waiting list sitting there is really daunting.
I never thought that in the greatest country in the world, you'd be down that he has to make a decision to cut a meal for an elderly person. This is why we need more donations to come into meal to Aging Matters of Brevard, right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, growing older, you have to have a proactive approach to growing older. You have to have a plan. I mean, how many people actually says, well, I'm 62, I'll be 65 soon, I'll be 70, and certain things change as you get older. How does one plan for that when one does not have a support system?
I think as you're coming in today's age, 60-year-olds are more prepared as they come through. They're healthier for the most part, and they're younger in mind. Most of our clients are in their 70-plus, but we do have clients in the 60 range. But they need to prepare for themselves, again, one, financially as they come through, try and see, you know, what's available, what they can do to put money away. If they can't, they got to take care of their health, eating correctly, doing what they can. But this is tough. This is the way the costs have gone up, everything around them that's happening. It's just really difficult.
So you're doing a few things to raise money.
Yes,
you got some really cool things. And I love the Bruise and Cruise for Cause. That was one of the things that I liked, mainly because it got my attention, because we play at a lot of those places. My band plays a lot of these places that you're not necessarily the same nights that you're going to be there. But I thought it was a fantastic, great luxury golf cart that's up for raffle. Right. Tell us a little bit about that.
I would love to tell you about that. So one of my board members was able to secure a golf cart from Lowe's for free. It's a $12,000 golf cart, and we're raffling off for the next 6 weeks or so till July 18th. We're selling raffle tickets, $25 for one, five for 100, and we're going around to the local breweries. The good thing about that is I get to pour beers at the breweries and have a little competition for tips, and we had a lot of fun. We did this in October at Beachfly. And it worked out well. I was up against Mayor Price for tips, and he destroyed me, which is good. I love it with tips. But now we started at Bug Nutty this past Friday. But next week we'll be at Playa Linda, and we're going to make the tour going to Intracoastal, Carib, Beachfly, and Hidden
Carib.
Level.
Oh, that's Trinidad and Tobago.
Yep. Carib. Yeah, they've all been wonderful. And the idea is that when I ask them to if we can have a spot, these are on Friday and Saturday nights. This is not like a Tuesday, but they're slow nights.
Is it the only event coming up, or there is other ones coming up?
This is one each week, and then we actually, so pretty much almost every day is booked with a proclamation or an event.
Yeah.
And then one of my board members talked to me about an event coming up for at Hemingway's. They lost their charity for that month, for this month, so she plugged us in.
Okay. So. And, you know, it's nice to talk about growing older in such a positive way that we can all embrace growing older. We don't all get sick. We don't all need assistance. But for the ones that do need it, we ought to be there for them.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, again, we need the community's help. We need it more than ever. Older Americans Act is going to be flat funded this year. It was supposed to be a 20% increase and then 44% over the next 5 years.
We'll bring all our friends to the Hemingway's. They like to eat there and they like to drink.
It's a rum tasting. $20 a ticket.
I'm from the Caribbean.
So come there. We get $10 of every $20 ticket sold.
All right, this is another piece about the community, right? All of our community coming together once again through local businesses and through local opportunities for us to be able to volunteer and do better for all of us.
Right, and for the young ones listening and the grandkids and all the other ones, hey, we're all going to get old. This is two things are given, born, life and death.
Exactly.
And so do what you can to help the older people and be kind about it. And no road rage, for God's sake. Gosh, be
so
nice
tell
to
us the
elderly.
Website and how people can volunteer.
Yeah, our website is agingmattersbrevard.org. You can volunteer by going to that website. You'll see a volunteer button to hit. It's our 60th year, and we're very proud of that. And I'm 59. I'll be 60 next year, so we're going to celebrate 2 years. No, yeah. Just kidding.
And never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world.
Our volunteers are amazing.
Every
absolutely
day
amazing.
You wake up is a darn good day on that's planet right. Earth.
Sure
just
another
back.
Great edition of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Thank you both, Rick, from the Children's Florida Movement. Movement
Same,
Florida.
You're good, you're
and
good.
Aging Matters today was a great segment. And thank you so much for participating in our community radio and spreading light and joy throughout the universe. Thank you again so much. We'll see you next week here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.